Joined now on the phone by Dr. Deb Strohman of the UNC Kenan Flagler Business School, business professor, sport commentator. And Dr. Strohman, I know you're an athlete yourself, so I have to begin by asking if you have any diet or exercise regimen tips to keep everyone heart healthy, because we're probably going to need it if the rest of the season is exactly like the last couple of weeks.
Well, there's no doubt. I think we're going to have to come up with some type of moniker to describe this team. The offense is on fire. Unfortunately, the defense is still struggling a bit, so we're ending up with these nail-biting games. In terms of being a fan and a spectator, it's what we want. It's exciting, but you're right. In terms of our blood pressure and management and being able to focus at work or at church service on the next day, it's kind of tough.
Well, you said it last week at exactly this time, that victory over Pittsburgh coming back, that great last-second drive, the touchdown pass, all of that really gives the Tar Heels a lot of momentum, but it also gives them a lot of maturity and that sense that, yes, we can actually do this. And we talked about, is that going to be a key factor for the Florida State game, the Virginia Tech game, the Miami game, those next three games on the schedule? It was certainly a factor against Florida State.
Well, there's no doubt. Winning the type of game that they did, I was mentioning to a friend that we've won at Virginia Tech when Virginia Tech was very good. Mm-hmm. And so it's always possible. But I think what the key is right now is Coach Fedora and his ability to motivate. We have to remember that we've gone through a rather challenging time in terms of recruiting for all of our teams. Not that UNC has lost its ability to produce outstanding graduates and to teach in an excellent way. That has not changed. But we all know there's been a blemish or a cloud over us. And so we do have many more 3- and 4-star athletes on the football team. But what he's able to do to believe in these players, and we all know from psychology and organizational behavior that when you expect more from your students, from your athletes, you can get more. The power of positivity is so important for young people. And Coach Fedora is just firing on all cylinders the way he's able to motivate. I just love his enthusiasm, his patting on the back. Now, of course, as young men, they're going to make mistakes. That's what athletics is about, you know, picking yourself up after you make the wrong play. But he's just been an all-around great motivator for these players.
And speaking of picking yourself up, that's exactly what happens with Nick Weiler. He has that extra point blocked, and then a couple of minutes later, he has to turn around and kick the biggest field goal of his life, and he steps up and does it.
And I saw Nick today. He is a Kenan Flagler student. And when our eyes met, it was almost like he looked at me like, wow. and we just talked about the discipline that it takes to be a kicker. You're always on stage. There's intense pressure. And oftentimes you're viewed as a non-football player.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, so many times we've watched football games, and when it comes down to that one player who's on his way to the end zone, and here comes the kicker. And more often than not, people say, oh, it's over. Like, the kicker doesn't know how to tackle. The
yep.
kicker doesn't know how to lay his body out properly. But I'm just very, very grateful for Nick and his skills. But he's a very humble guy. He knows it's just one kick, and there's going to be so many more kicks the rest of the season. But to do this at this level, we just have to tip our hat. 54 yards is incredible in the NFL, let alone college football.
You know, speaking with Dr. Deborah Strohman, Kenan Flagler Business School, I got the Tar Heel football game coming up again against Virginia Tech, 3:30 on Saturday, Miami in Miami after that, and then the schedule kind of opens up, but a couple more tough games to get through against top 25 opponents, and we'll have a lot more to say about that over the next couple of weeks. We got to turn to another big topic, which is near and dear to your heart, I know, which is the official launch, and it's coming up on Friday, and the announcement just came, 2 days ago, I think, on Saturday of the UNC Frank Hawkins Kenan at the Frank Hawkins Kenan Institute of Private Enterprise, the UNC Center of Sport Business, which I know is a topic that's very close to you and something you've been working on very closely for a while. So this has got to be really exciting.
It is. There have been so many people who've poured into this work and who've been by my side, behind and front, I should say, in terms of it only makes sense. We're a university of excellence with academics. We're a university of excellence with athletics. We need to have a center of sport business. And so As a part of the Keenan Flagler faculty, I'm happy to announce that on this Friday, in conjunction with our basketball analytics seminar, we are going to officially launch the center. And we have a focus on sport analytics, and I think having the Basketball Analytics Summit and the Basketball Analytics Seminar, we've carved out that space. And then the other focus is just demonstrating ways that sport is just so powerful and how it changes and it touches our lives, in particular with matters of equity and inclusion. So we have our priorities. We're going to be definitely continuing our Basketball Analytics Summit. That's moving to the fall of 2017. Putting on a sports shark tank, we did that this past February. That was exciting, and it's not just for UNC Chapel Hill, it's for all 17 UNC academic institutions. We're going to have research symposium where we'll bring in some of the top thought leaders and practitioners out there to handle various topics. We've got a speaker series. Also, we're partnering with ESPNW and the State Department for the Global Sports Mentoring Program. I have an emerging leader coming in on October 16th from the country of Benin in West Africa, and she'll be with us for about 2.5 weeks exploring UNC and the state of North Carolina. So we're just excited about this. It's a great buzz. We've got some great folks coming to town to share and be a part of the celebratory dinner. George Lynch and Jerry Stackhouse, great alums. They're a big part of this, and you'll be hearing from them as well.
And you're talking about the Center for Sport Business, which is going to be officially launching at the end of this week at UNC. And Dr. Stroman, I know you're really excited about it. The field of business and sports, or sports business, is emerging more and more. What do we know now, thanks to the research that's been conducted by all of these people at universities, UNC, and other places around the country and around the world? What do we know now about the business of sport that we didn't know before?
Well, the one thing about the business of sport is it takes our eyes off of the particular competition, whether it's the football game and Nick Weiler kicking that field goal, or whether it's a basketball game, whatever. We have to look at what's happening behind the scenes to make this happen. It is such a unique product. Thinking about all that's going on in terms of social justice and having Colin Kaepernick stand up. So it makes us question, why do we have patriotism involved in sport? When we think about all the money that's being spent, and we're somewhere between $400 and $500 billion is spent on sport around the world, why do we do this? Why does it take former President Nelson Mandela speaking in South Africa, understanding that the various people, various communities were not coming together, yet it made all the sense in the world? But when he asked the rugby team to come together and be a symbol for how we can work together as one country, that made the difference. When we think about young people and being motivated to go off and be a business person, a lawyer, doctor, a researcher, whatever, but sometimes it's the athletics that they participate in where they gain characteristics or skill sets such as discipline, teamwork, picking yourself up, resiliency, all that stuff can be learned from sport, and then we apply it to our academics and to our ability to work with one another. So there's just something amazing about this industry, and because of that, because it touches us, it compels us to watch the news, it compels us to listen to these hero-type stories. It only makes sense that we should study it, we should examine it, and we could identify the best practices that we can share with everyone.
Speaking again with Dr. Deb Stroman, Keenan Flagler Business School, the official launch of the Center of Sport Business, it's going to be on Friday at the Keenan Flagler Business School, and that's going to be very exciting for the university. And I mean, what you just said underscores just the importance of sports in society, because it is a big business, because it is so prominent, because the athletes who are out there are such prominent public figures, their actions and what they say and what they do and how they present themselves has ripple effects that are really significant and really influential in society in general. And we're seeing that now in a whole bunch of different ways, but just recently in Ohio, LeBron James, who may be the most popular person in Ohio and certainly one of the most prominent public figures, if not the most prominent, steps up and endorses Hillary Clinton for president. And this is not something that you ordinarily see athletes stepping forward and endorsing candidates for president. But if it's Ohio and if it's LeBron James, that could carry a huge amount of weight.
That's right, and Ohio being a swing state. But as marketing continues to evolve, there's a new form of marketing called influencer marketing, and it's where you focus on a key leader to drive your brand's message to the larger market. So as opposed to marketing directly to a large group of consumers, you inspire, you hire, you pay someone, an influencer, to get the word out for you. And I don't know if there's a bigger athlete in the world than LeBron James. So for Clinton, for her to get that endorsement, it's really going to make a difference, especially when right now we're talking about many black millennials are choosing not to vote at all. And will he be able to motivate them and help them to understand that regardless of how you vote, you just need to vote? And then secondly, because of his friendship with President Obama, he wants to continue that, and he feels that Hillary Clinton is the best person to continue President Obama's work.
And we really talk about this, and we've talked about athletes getting involved in politics in the context of Colin Kaepernick, and there's someone who knew when he decided to sit down for the national anthem, or knew when he decided to take a knee for the national anthem, that he was taking a risk, that there was a very big chance that his teammates were not necessarily going to be with him, that it wasn't going to catch on, that the team wasn't going to be with him, that he was going to lose endorsements, lose jersey sales, lose money from this, and he decides to take the stand anyway. LeBron James, endorsing Hillary Clinton, maybe not quite as potentially controversial a stand as Colin Kaepernick taking a knee for the national anthem, but kind of the same thing. If you are LeBron James, you've got a huge endorsement deal, you've got a whole bunch of jersey sales, you're making a lot of money from that, and you endorse one candidate, you risk turning off the fans of the other candidate and losing money that way. It's a risk that you're taking. But in the case of both Colin Kaepernick and LeBron James, you got two people who are stepping up saying, you know what, I'm doing okay myself, and it's worth it for me to take this stand. And that, in both cases, is a move forward from what we saw 20 years ago from the previous LeBron James, namely Michael Jordan, who made it a point to not take a political stand on anything until well after he was done with his career.
And you make very good points. And I think the difference today, number one, I would say, because of the power of technology and social media, to see the videos, to see the photography on some of these very disturbing deaths, it almost makes you question, how could I not speak up? This is no risk for me. Just something is just not right, and I want justice, and I want to be heard, and I don't want to be known as the silent one. I don't want to be separate from my community. And then on the other side, we're talking about the economics. So when Michael Jordan made that quote, he wasn't making he wasn't the billionaire he is today.
Right.
But he was trying to build his brand. He was, as he said, he was trying to sell some shoes, where a lot of these top athletes, even if it's a minimum salary, these guys are making a lot of money, and they feel comfortable with their connections, with their brain power, that once their career is over, they're going to be okay. Now, we know with LeBron and Kaepernick, I mean, they're multimillionaires, so they definitely don't have to worry about the economics. The other thing that's interesting, talking about the business of sport, is that LeBron James, this story was broken by Business Insider, not Sports Illustrated, not ESPN. Again, demonstrating how when LeBron speaks, and again, it is the off season, but this is a business story, because we're talking about how his economic weight, his influence can actually play a part in our presidential campaign.
And probably in terms of actual social influence, LeBron James fits into that category as a businessman first and foremost.
That's right. And many people like LeBron more so for his work off the court than on the court. He's just done so many things for the state of Ohio, for his town of Akron. He feels that Clinton is the only candidate who really understands the struggles of an Akron child being born into poverty. I think he also feels that the way Hillary Clinton is speaking about institutional racism, that she's being direct, and it just seems more embracing of where America needs to go in terms of healing versus what Donald Trump has been saying.
Absolutely. All right, we got to let you go. But before we do, what do people need to know about the launch on Friday of the Center of Sport Business?
So, again, it's going to be in conjunction with the Basketball Analytics Seminar. We do have, it's limited seating, but we do have some tickets left, not many are left, but it is Friday at 12:30. You can go to Keenan Institute, www.unc.edu /BASS for Basketball Analytics Seminar. We have a great lineup of speakers, but we will also make the official announcement, and then we have an invitation-only dinner that evening to celebrate. But come out and hear Jerry Stackhouse, Dean Oliver, our great Tar Heel pioneer of basketball analytics, Chris Zeppenfeld, who runs analytics for the Charlotte Hornets, Debbie Antonelli, a great basketball analyst and former basketball player at NC State. It's just going to be a great lineup, and I'm encouraging everyone to come out and be a part of what we're doing in terms of the bridge of of sports and business.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Deb Stroman, Kenan Flagler Business School, thank you so much.
Thank you.